Welcome to your personal deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing things a little differently today.
Right.
You guys sent in audio from a Pathfinder 2nd Edition Kingmaker campaign planning session.
That's right.
Not the actual game, but the planning session beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're getting a sneak peek into their war room, you know, yeah. Before they actually jump into the campaign.
Okay, so before we jump into that, for people who aren't that familiar,
right?
What is it about the Kingmaker campaign
sure.
that makes it so special?
So Kingmaker is a classic adventure path in Pathfinder, and it's known for its really grand scope.
Okay.
Players, they start off as kind of low-level adventurers and gradually gain power influence.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, they found their own kingdom.
Wow.
So they have to balance that traditional dungeon crawl with the complexities of actually ruling a realm.
Yeah, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
From, you know, fighting goblins to negotiating trade deals.
It is.
Seems like character creation would be even more important here.
Absolutely. And we can really hear that in their discussion.
Yeah.
Each player really carefully considers their character's strengths, weaknesses,
yeah.
How they'll fit into the party dynamic, especially as they transition from, you know, adventurers to rulers.
It's like they're laying the foundation for their kingdom right from the character sheet.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
So let's talk about some of these characters.
Okay.
We've got Brinley, the halfling swashbuckler.
Right.
He's clearly built for agility. And finesse loves the flintlock pistol and a rapier. But then yeah. He goes with an armored cloak.
Yeah.
Which seems like an unusual choice.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an odd choice for a swashbuckler, you think. You know, light and quick.
Right? Wouldn't that slow him down?
Yeah, potentially. But remember the Kingmaker campaign, it's not just about quick reflexes.
Yeah.
It's about survival, especially in those early stages where the players are vulnerable.
Right.
And they're establishing their foothold. So the armored cloak suggests that he's focused on defense, maybe even foreshadowing Brinley's role as a protector.
Interesting.
Not just of himself, but of his future subjects.
Makes you wonder if he's already thinking long term.
Right.
Seeing himself leading troops into battle.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jen, the elven cleric.
Yes.
Devoted to Aristel.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a pretty traditional support role focused on healing and protection.
Yeah, very much the classic cleric archetype. But even within that archetype,
yeah,
there's a lot of nuance to her choices. You know,
right.
Her choice of spells like Sanctuary that indicates that she's not just a passive healer.
Yeah.
She's actively thinking about mitigating damage,
right.
Protecting herself in combat.
It's like she's preparing to be that bedrock of the party.
Yeah.
Keep everyone else going when things get rough.
Absolutely.
And in the Stolen Lands, things are going to get rough.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we've got Johnny,
yeah.
Champion, follows Gorum, the god of battle.
Right.
Total classic warrior archetype.
Yeah.
Sword and shield, chainmail armor.
Yep.
Just a classic tank.
That's right. A stalwart defender, you know.
But
yeah.
He picks a bastard sword.
Yes.
It's a versatile weapon.
It is.
But it's not as simple as just a longsword.
No, it takes a little bit more skill to wield it effectively.
Is he hinting at ambitions beyond just being a frontline tank?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a keen observation.
Okay.
The bastard sword could indicate that he wants to lead from the front to be that figurehead who inspires his followers.
Makes sense.
Through both strength and martial prowess.
All right. And then finally,
okay.
We've got Nate's half-elf Magus Celestarius.
Yes.
Talk about versatility.
Yeah, the Magus is really an intriguing choice for Kingmaker.
Yeah.
It allows for flexibility in combat and social situations.
Right. And right. It's got spells like Shooting Star and Electric Arc.
Yeah, he's not afraid to be flashy.
Right. Like he's projecting this image of arcane might.
Exactly.
So we've got this really diverse group here. Everyone's got their own strengths. Everyone's got their own potential leadership qualities.
Right.
But how do those individual choices
yeah.
play out when you're trying to build a kingdom together?
That's a great question. And that's a question that honestly, only playing in the game can answer.
Right.
But we can see some early hints in their discussion.
Yeah.
They clearly recognize that there needs to be a balance
uh-huh.
of offense and defense, healing and damage.
Sure.
And maybe most importantly, a balance of personality.
Yeah, it's like they're building a mini society right there on the character sheet.
Yeah, a microcosm of their kingdom.
And it's not just the characters themselves.
Right.
They also spend a lot of time talking about the Stolen Lands.
Yeah.
Where their kingdom's going
to
be.
Yes. And that's where things start to get really, really interesting.
Okay.
The Stolen Lands are a blank canvas.
Okay.
It's a wilderness frontier ripe for exploration and exploitation.
Okay.
But it's also a land full of danger
right.
and competing factions.
Right. So they're stepping into a political powder keg.
Yeah, you could say that.
They've got bandits, they've got goblins,
mm-hmm.
and they've got all these different groups vying for power.
That's right.
It's not just about fighting monsters and finding treasure.
No.
This is about diplomacy and alliances.
Yeah, it really mirrors real world politics in a lot of ways.
And this is just the beginning of their journey.
Exactly.
What else can you tell us about this world?
Well, for starters, they're going to be dealing with a lot more than just bandits and goblins.
Whoa.
The Stolen Lands are riddled with ancient ruins.
Okay.
Remnants of a lost civilization with secrets that could either help or hinder their kingdom's growth.
So they're going to have to do some research.
Right.
History, archaeology.
Yeah.
What about the political landscape?
Sure. So the Stolen Lands are a real melting pot of cultures and ideologies.
Okay.
With all these factions vying for power, you've got the Brevik trade city of Rostov. They're trying to exert their influence.
Mm-hmm.
You got the barbarian tribes that call the region home.
Right.
There's even whispers of a hidden fey presence.
Oh, wow.
Deep within the forests.
So it's like a game of Risk, but with orcs and dragons.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And then on top of all that.
Yeah.
There's this question of the region's history.
Right.
The Stolen Lands weren't always stolen.
Right.
It used to be part of a powerful empire.
Exactly.
That crumbled centuries ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there are rumors of hidden treasures.
Right.
Ancient artifacts.
Yeah.
Maybe even the chance to restore this empire.
It's a very tantalizing possibility.
So they're not just building a kingdom.
Right.
They're stepping into a legacy.
Yeah, a legacy that spans generations.
I cannot wait to see how they handle all of this.
Me too. It's going to be very interesting.
I'm excited to hear more.
Yeah.
This is great.
Right.
All right, so last time we left off,
mm-hmm.
our players had kind of sketched out their characters.
Yeah.
And we're starting to wrap their heads around the Stolen Lands.
Right, really getting a feel for the place.
Yeah, a world full of opportunity.
Yeah.
But also crawling with danger.
A lot of danger.
Yeah.
And it's goblins. Who knows what else?
So they're moving from this, you know, kind of safe space of character creation.
Right.
Into like the actual wilderness now.
Yeah, into the thick of it.
And the first big decision they got to make
mm-hmm.
is where to set up their base.
Exactly. And this is a big one. This isn't just, you know, picking a campsite.
Right.
This is about laying the foundation for their future kingdom.
A decision with serious long-term consequences.
Absolutely.
They talk about access to resources, defensibility, trade routes.
Yeah.
It's like a city planning meeting.
It really is. And it shows that they understand what the Kingmaker campaign is all about.
Okay.
They know that a good location can give them a huge advantage.
Right. Not just for surviving, but for like how their kingdom actually grows.
Exactly. It's not just about finding a safe haven. It's about finding a place that fits their vision for the kingdom.
So like what are some of the options they're looking at?
Well, they consider a site near the city of Rostov.
Okay, so that would give them access to trade.
Yeah, establish infrastructure, but it would also mean being under the thumb of a powerful city.
Right, so it's like security versus independence.
Exactly, a classic dilemma.
Then they also talk about going deeper into the wilderness.
Yeah, establishing a stronghold in a more remote location.
More freedom, but also more danger.
Much more danger, yeah.
Which way are they leaning?
It's hard to say they haven't really reached a consensus yet.
Okay.
But you can see some interesting tension between different approaches.
Like what?
Well, Brinley, with his focus on defense,
uh-huh.
he seems drawn to a more secure location near Rostov.
Makes sense. Wants to protect his people.
Right. A safe and prosperous kingdom is going to attract followers.
Okay. Then on the other hand, we've got Johnny the Champion.
Yes.
He seems to want to go deeper into the wilderness.
Yeah. He wants to carve out his own destiny.
Bold move.
It is very bold.
What about Jen and Nate?
Well, Jen the cleric.
Yeah.
She's very thoughtful, as always, weighing the pros and cons.
Okay.
She really emphasizes the need for resources,
uh-huh.
not just for the party, but for the community they want to build.
Thinking like a true leader.
She's putting her people first.
Yeah, Nate.
Nate the Magus. He's fascinated by the history of the Stolen Lands.
Okay.
He's drawn to the possibility of discovering ancient secrets.
So he's thinking long term?
Yeah, he's thinking about the legacy of their kingdom.
It's interesting how their character choices are affecting their strategic thinking.
Yeah, it's like they're role playing even outside the game.
Okay, so they're still debating the location.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the other challenges of setting up shop in the Stolen Lands?
Right.
bandits, goblins,
yeah,
all sorts of creatures.
Yeah, they're definitely aware of those threats. Mm-hmm. They know they need to balance exploration and expansion
right.
with security.
You can't just charge off into the wilderness.
No, they can't.
So what are they talking about doing?
Well, they discuss scouting parties, establishing patrols.
Okay.
Even forging alliances with local factions.
Alliances?
Yeah, they realize they can't do it alone.
The stolen lands are too dangerous.
Way too dangerous.
So they're going to need to make some friends.
Exactly. Survival depends on collaboration.
But how do they decide who to trust?
That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
They're really starting to understand how complex the politics are.
Yeah.
They don't just see things in black and white.
They're recognizing all the different shades of gray.
Exactly. For example, they talk about allying with certain barbarian tribes.
Okay.
Who know the land really well.
Uh-huh.
But that could make Restoff mad, right? It's a delicate balancing act.
So they're getting a taste of real-world politics.
They are. Every decision has consequences.
Okay, so they're starting to see the bigger picture.
They are.
But what about the actual process of building a kingdom?
Right, so now we're talking about the real meat of the Kingmaker campaign.
Okay.
This is where they go from a band of adventurers to rulers of a nation.
That's a huge leap.
It is a monumental task.
Where do they even begin?
Well, they discuss all sorts of things. Attracting settlers, building infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
creating laws, enforcing order.
Sounds complicated.
It is very complicated.
But they seem up for the challenge.
They do. They have these grand visions for their kingdom.
Uh-huh.
But they also know they have to start small.
Yeah.
Build a solid foundation before they can aim for greatness.
So it's about balancing their aspirations with reality.
Exactly.
What else are they talking about?
Well, the theme that keeps coming up is this idea of legacy.
Okay.
They want to create something last and something that reflects their values.
They're not just trying to win the game.
No, they're trying to build a better world.
Wow.
And that's what makes Kingmakers so compelling.
It's not just about fighting and looting.
No, it's about creating something meaningful.
Right. So they're starting to grasp the enormity of this task.
They understand the potential for both triumph and tragedy.
So many possibilities.
So many paths they could take.
Which one will they choose?
Well, that's what we're going to explore in part three.
I can't wait. All right, so we're back.
Back in the Stolen Lands.
Our players have gone from, you know, adventurers to kingdom builders.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
But now things are getting real.
Oh, yeah. The stakes are higher than ever.
They've got this kingdom taking shape.
Mm-hmm.
But with that comes a whole new set of challenges.
Absolutely.
It's one thing to clear out a dungeon.
Right.
It's another thing to manage a whole population.
Yeah. Governing is a lot more complicated than fighting goblins.
So are they starting to realize that?
Oh, definitely. Their discussions have shifted.
In what way?
Well, they're talking less about exploration and expansion,
mm-hmm.
more about resource management, infrastructure development.
So the nitty-gritty of running a kingdom.
Exactly. The stuff that's not as glamorous, but just as important.
What are some examples?
Well, they spend a lot of time debating economic policies.
Okay, like what?
Should they focus on agriculture or trade?
Tough choices.
Right? How do they fund infrastructure projects, taxes, or volunteer labor?
It's like they're dealing with real-world problems.
They are, and their decisions are really revealing their values.
So how are they approaching these problems?
Well, Jen, the cleric, she's always focused on the well-being of the people.
Makes sense for a cleric.
Right. She wants to make sure everyone has food, shelter, health care.
So she's taking a more compassionate approach.
Yeah, very much so.
What about Johnny?
Johnny's more focused on strength and security.
Okay.
He wants a strong military, a firm hand in dealing with threats.
Two very different leadership styles.
They are, but they're learning to work together.
Are they finding common ground?
They are. They're recognizing that a successful kingdom needs balance.
Compromise is key.
Exactly. Okay. And that's what makes this campaign so interesting.
They're not just following a script.
No, they're creating their own story.
So they're figuring out the internal stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But what about the outside world?
Right. They haven't forgotten about the dangers out there.
Okay.
They know they need a strong military. But they're also realizing the importance of diplomacy.
Alliances are key.
Exactly. A well-chosen ally can be just as valuable as an army.
So who are they thinking about allying with?
Well, they're looking at the different factions in the Stolen Lands.
Okay.
Trying to figure out who to trust, who to watch out for.
Sounds complicated.
It is. They consider allying with barbarian tribes. But that could anger Restoff.
Right.
So every decision has a ripple effect.
It's like a political chess match.
It is, with very high stakes.
So they're dealing with all that?
Mm-hmm.
But they're also uncovering ancient secrets.
Oh, yeah. They're digging into the history of the Stolen Lands.
Okay.
Finding clues about lost artifacts, fallen empires.
Wow. So it's more than just building the kingdom.
Yeah. It's like they're unraveling a mystery.
A mystery with real consequences.
Absolutely. Their choices could change the course of history.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, yeah. What have we learned?
Well, we've seen the strategic depth of the Kingmaker campaign.
It's a really complex game.
It is, but it's also incredibly rewarding.
And it's more than just a game.
Right. It's a way to explore complex ideas, to work together.
To learn and grow.
Exactly. And I think the biggest takeaway is the importance of planning.
Preparation is key.
It is. These players are succeeding because they're thinking ahead.
They're not just winging it.
No, they're considering all the angles.
And that's a lesson we can all apply to our lives.
Absolutely. Whether you're playing games or running a business.
So as our players venture deeper into the Stolen Lands.
Yeah.
We wish them luck.
They're going to need it.
But they've got the tools and the mindset to succeed.
They do. They've got a vision and they're not afraid to work hard.
It's been an amazing journey.
It has. And I can't wait to see what they do next.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, and keep those imaginations firing.